Blog Talk Radio.
So, are you guys on the air?
I'm on, Frank.
Well, good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on Sunday, this August 26th. We're glad to have you with us. I'm glad that, you know, there, like last week, there were a lot of people listening in and got lots of comments. And the issue I have is all these comments come after the show. It'd be so nice if some of you would call in and give me your comments while on the air. A lot of you are listening through your computers and not or your phones, and you feel like, you know, you'll get disconnected if you do. But when you call in, someone will see you on the line and come in and ask if you would like to ask a question. If that's you and that person comes on the line, just tell them I want to join the conversation and we'll bring you in the show. But I want to also welcome our panelists. They're on the line, and I want to get into some conversation. How's everyone doing this week?
Doing wonderful.
Good.
Doing well.
Good. So we keep having this one conversation that we as the America needs to come up with, but nobody is taking the lead on it, and that's guns again, another mass shooting today. I mean, there's been several last month. I mean, but there was one today, and it was in Florida at the Madden video game tournament, and a guy got frustrated because he was losing, so he just shot everybody, started shooting. And my understanding is 4 people that have lost their life. And we just can't seem to get this gun thing. Everybody argues about it. Everybody wants, yes, you can have guns. No, you can't have guns. But we need to come up with some kind of a system or something, because so many people are losing their lives, and a lot of people are losing their mass shootings are going off the scale. And I don't know what more we can say in the men's voice. We keep saying we need to get the right politicians in place to do something effective, but we have midterms coming up next week. This week, and it's that time, and it's that time that we as men start putting the word out, who do some research, and who nobody's answering that question. What about in Florida? All this keeps happening. Ron, I know you're on the line. In Florida, is there any talk with politicians about gun control? Because it seems a lot of these things come up in Florida.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, David, I haven't had the luxury of being able to listen to any of the debates. I did listen to a little part of one of the debates, and nothing was said about gun control. You know, there was talk about the protecting the environment and things like that, but nothing about gun control, which was, I don't know if they talked about it before or after I listened to it, but I'm embarrassed, I guess, to admit that I haven't done my homework yet. So I don't know what candidates are pro or against guns. And, you know, I'm so tired of the mass shootings. And I've said this before, that I think in this country we have gone past the point of no return. I mean, I think there's so many guns out there already that I don't know that anything. I mean, there are things that can be done to maybe alleviate the problem, but, you know, we've got the Second Amendment and all of that protection for law-abiding citizens. So it makes it very difficult. And I think, you know, if we compare ourselves to other countries where maybe there aren't the mass shootings that we have here, because the citizens don't have guns, you know, they haven't ever had guns, I don't think. So, you know, for us to all of a sudden say we're going to get rid of all the guns, I think that's impossible and practical. and I need to do my homework before I go out and vote, and everybody should do the same.
Well, let me ask Don, because I know you're a little bit in political. You listen a little bit, so what do you think? Because once again, Florida seems to be the place where a lot of these mass shootings, I'm not going to say the only place because they're happening all over, but the big ones lately have seemed to have been in Florida, and so is there something, you know, because the school was there, is there a movement or something, or is it just a moot point with us in the United States?
Yes, gun control has been a major topic and a major issue here in Florida. As you know, this is the home of the Trayvon Martin Foundation, and we've had other numerous shootings, the Parkland situation and so forth. Gun control is a major topic among the Democratic candidates running for office. Each and every one of them have said that they would repeal or redo the Stand Your Ground law. The Stand Your Ground law is gaining strength on the Republican side. They have not said anything about it, but every one of the Democratic candidates running for the primary election this Tuesday, I have all said that they would repeal the Stand Your Ground law. Gun control is a major topic here in the state of Florida, major topic. And like you said, most of the incidents happen here in the state of Florida. Just today, Jacksonville, 3 or 4 people killed, 17 injured. It's crazy. It's crazy. But what's happening is they're afraid to speak up against the NRA. And the NRA is funding a lot of Republican candidates, and all of the Democratic candidates have renounced it. So it's a major topic here, David.
It needs to be a major topic in the United States. We need to move it across the United States. I haven't heard it on a national platform. Why do you think that is, Bruce? I heard some when it happens, there's a little comment and they go, but they die. But then it is not a push or anything of gun control. It only happens at a certain when things happen. So we'll hear tomorrow the mass shootings today, I assume. But what is it that we in the United States as men need to be doing to help our families by not, because going, okay, now all the, we know that most of the young men and young ladies actually now play video games all day. So we would have never thought, our kids would have said, they're very good at it, and so they're going to go to the Madden video game tournament in Jackson. We probably would have even financed them going to just let them have fun. But we had not to be concerned with everywhere that we are sending our kids and our families. Bruce, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, unfortunately, I heard Don and Ron say, I'm for gun control, absolutely. Do I really know what that means as far as making a difference on how guns are going to be used less and less for these more and more heinous crimes? No, I don't. That's what's frustrating to me. You've heard me say before, if we took every single legal gun off the street, it would be harder for some people to get guns, yes. But I don't seem to hear the real problem-solving kind of discussions of the parties that need to be discussing it, like the public, the police, the politicians, anybody that really has a handle on an aspect of what makes people use guns more and more these days. I don't hear that dialogue. I don't hear it up here in Michigan. I got a feeling you don't hear Don and Ron down there in Florida. It's almost, and I don't mean to minimize the problem, it's like the flavor of the month for the legislators. They talk about, now we got to talk about gun control, or we got to talk about the border, or this and that. And then when everybody's elected or in their positions, it all fades away again until there's another election. I don't see the follow through. If I could stand in front of all of them and say, all right, now what? What are we going to do to really control guns the way they should be controlled? Is there something else we need to do that we're not missing? As Ron said, it's ingrained in our culture now, so you're not going to totally take guns away from people that have had them, you know, and it's part of our culture. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't be maybe controlled in some way better than it is now. And I don't hear that dialogue. I really don't.
The reason why you don't hear that dialogue, Bruce, is because the NRA has a stranglehold on that dialogue.
Don, I somewhat agree with you, but you, I, and everybody else, they don't have a stranglehold on us. We could, meaning the public, we in the public, the ones that matter, and the police or whatever, whoever should be involved, could start having that dialogue. What's the NRA going to do about it? They're gonna try to muscle, as you indicated, maybe muscle some of the legislators to say, shut that conversation down. But short of that, what are they going to do? They can't stop us from discussing it. They can't stop us from coming up with something that might be an alternative means to better control that we haven't talked about. They can't do that.
But see, the students in Parkland have already had that dialogue, and they're going to continue to have that dialogue.
That's
good. The problem is our elected officials do not want to have that dialogue. But you're going to see a change in this upcoming election and in the general election. Watch and see the change that you see in this election and also in the November election. That's when we're going to start getting some change.
Well, but Don, we've heard that before too, so I hope you're right in a way. I hope you're right.
Well, let me throw in
Don.
Go ahead.
I just had a question for Don, and I feel like an idiot. I guess I've been hiding under a rock because I haven't heard the candidates talk about that, so shame on me. But I guess it is a hot topic. But my concern is that if they, you know, the Democrats, if they get rid of the Stand Your Ground law, is that going to solve the real problem? I mean, because that's just one facet of you know, the problem that we have. I mean, that's not going to take guns away from people.
No, it's not.
Stand Your Ground is about killing black people.
That's it.
All right, so that's I'll pass on that right now. But that's what that's about. That's a clear. There's no. That's a no-brainer. The NRA is being highly influenced by Russia, which we used to call the communists. Okay, they own a big interest in the NRA. The culture that we have produced, we have a video culture. We're killing and guns and shooting the bad guy, and I know that because I have a 3- and 4-year-old grandson that are pretty well knowledgeable in that. So we've created a culture where there is no pain if you shoot someone with a weapon. We've had a cowboy culture all since our existence, and we have people that believe they should have the right to kill their relatives, to kill their family, and to equalize their situation if they are threatened. So we have that culture. The example that we could follow in this country would be Australia, or we could pick another country that had guns that eliminated most of the guns, but we don't want to do that. And we have a capitalistic society, and so thereby it's about making money even if people get killed in our country. It is about making money even if people get killed.
And then to add along to what you just said, Frank, anytime the highest office in the country and in the world says I could walk down the street and shoot someone on Madison Avenue and not get charged for it and kill them, nothing would be done. I mean, that's perpetuating gun violence.
Well,
yeah.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of things that are being said out there that's perpetuating violence of all kinds. I couldn't agree with you more. But and don't we wish our legislators on both sides of the fence would be more more responsible with that kind of phraseology? Because some of us do listen to them, and but it's not just that. There's too much of it coming from all sides.
But I want to jump in with something, because something just came out the last few days that I thought was very strange, in that our Secretary of Education, DeVos, wants to now use federal funds to buy firearms for teachers. So now we have the Secretary of Education putting guns in school. So something is wrong with that picture. Why did this lady in for? We know why we got it. We know why we got her, but I don't want to get involved in that. But I want to say is, why would you even come up with federal funds to buy guns for teachers in the schools across the United States? But yet we're talking about gun control. But I think the point I'm making is, for everyone that's listening that's going to go out and vote, this is our problem. People who are in office who are not paying attention to the community they're supposed to be protecting. You're going to go out and every teacher, and some of these teachers out here are crazier than some of the people that are not teachers, and you're going to give them guns in our schools.
And, hey, David, let's do the math, okay? Let's do the math. Guns are a business, a capitalistic business. NRA is a business that's influenced by gun manufacturers and the communists, all right? We've created a culture that we start kids at an early age to do this thing. We have a president that there's no way there's going to be a change in the gun law significantly while he's the president. You know, we might make out a little bit better with a different president, but we're certainly not going to change any of our cowboy intuition. So lastly, Betsy DeVos's brother is a gun merchant. All right. Her brother is a gun merchant who got thrown out of Afghanistan because his boys killed a lot of people. He is advocating that we hire a private army for our overseas battle. Okay, he's an ex-SEAL. And then we have an Iran-Contra guy that's running the NRA, Oliver North. All right? So this all works. It all works for business. And it works for the funeral company, and it trims what we would say in the military. It trims our cell with human beings.
Wow. All right. Well, let's move up the scale a little bit and bring some people up who are thinking about all this. That's really crazy, but I want to change the mood just a little bit. So I know, as most men, you've seen this in the news. So I want to ask question. So how many people saw Serena Williams' cat suit? And now she's in trouble for wearing it, but she wasn't the first one to wear that on the field. There have been other tennis players, female tennis players, who won jumpsuits on the court. Unfortunately, Serena is built a little different than most of the other players out there. So the Federation, now they've changed the rules where she can't wear anything like that again. But the reason she said she was wearing it was she had blood clots that she had her child, and that kind of tight outfit that she had on helped her with that. So it was a medical issue. And she was not trying to disrespect anybody, and she doesn't want to ruin the full power of tennis. So she's kind of apologizing for it, but I don't think she really had to. Did you see the outfit, Bruce?
Just me, David? Bruce?
Yes.
No, I didn't, but I have firsthand knowledge of not wearing a suit like her. That'd be ugly for me. But but I wear heavy compression socks because I've had a few blood clots in my life, and a lot of people are wearing them now. And of course, our sports players are finally catching up with me, of course, in doing that. So if the rules didn't say she couldn't, and at least I believe her from the standpoint of blood clots in the legs. I haven't heard about like in your arms or any other part of your body for compression in that regard. But sports people are also using it to, you know, to help with the muscle tone and so forth. So if it doesn't say you can't and she did, they may not like it. They might say, oh, this or that. But it's not out of bounds if there isn't anything that says, well, you can't do that. So I agree. Why, if that's true, why should she be apologizing? She shouldn't.
Well, the other part is Serena is not built like the other tennis players. Serena got back, baby, back. So
yeah.
When you are, it's distracting when she's playing for those people who are into those kinds of things, for I would guess. But she and a couple of times they've gotten on her about what she wears, and I don't think it's fair without the rules that she's within the rules at the time does this. Why is it such a newsworthy thing all the time? I'm just getting a little tired of seeing her in for things that make no sense in the field. And I want to go back to who she is and race and all that kind of thing, but I'm just really against anyone coming up with not do that because you're shaped the way you are. That shaming people for the way they're built is wrong. And for us as Americans to put up with that, we should say the French were the ones who were not all this outfit and everything. Not the United States, to my understanding, but across the world that they brought this up. So of course she's in the news line, and I think it's just wrong. What do you think, Ron?
I agree with both of you, actually. I think it's totally ridiculous, especially if there isn't a rule against it, to criticize her for doing that just because of the shape of her body. I mean, we've got mannequins now. I saw them just the other day. Mannequins, I forget where I saw them, but mannequins for heavy set people. So, you know, I think the days of the slender models and all that, you know, they're maybe behind us a little bit. So the fact that she does have back, you know, everybody knows that. It doesn't offend me at all. I don't see why it would be offensive to anybody.
What would you think? Say someone else that wore the exact same outfit and had the most beautiful, let's call it human structure possible, wouldn't that be rather distracting as well to someone that's playing against her or around or whatever? I mean, where do you draw the lines? They ought to, if they're that concerned about that, then they ought to come up with a certain limit on a uniform or attire that all women can wear, and no matter what their shape is, they can pick from those choices, and that's it.
Yeah, but I think that would be ridiculous. I mean, it's like Wimbledon at the times when everybody had to wear all white, I think. I mean,
right,
come on.
Right.
How stupid is that?
Yeah, I tend to agree, but
anyway, I just think, you know, I brought it up because I think we need to once think about what we're doing, because our kids are going to go out and get in some of these sports, and we hope, you know, that they'll be popular, but we need to start training them now not to be embarrassed about their bodies. That was my whole point.
Hey, David.
Yes.
David.
Yes, sir.
I've seen Serena in the past wear the black tight outfit at other tennis matches. And I think it's produced by Nike for her, and it's a revolutionary thing. But what's happened is. What's one of the problems is our visuals, your visual, my visual, other visuals. There was a magazine or internet article before this happened about her and a tennis player who is also a model, a Russian tennis player who's very popular and also a model. And one of the news people wanted to ask Serena, did she feel intimidated by playing the model? Now, she's beat the model. Let's say they played 30 games, and she's beat the model 25 of the 30 games. Okay, the model was a highly ranked tennis player. And but the reason why the white news person asked the question is because the model is considered to have this ideal body shape that you guys spoke of, and Serena is not considered by his eyesight to have that ideal. So part of that is, you know, where you're playing ball at, because Afro-Americans have a tendency to have back because we were kind of inbred to have back. There may be some organic reasons also, but that's one of the reasons why we have back, because we were bred to do work by the slave masters in the countries that had held slaves. So what may seem to be acceptable body structure by one group of people, and for instance, in Africa, heavy-set women are highly sought after, and maybe in European countries, skinny women are highly sought after. And the same thing happens when we had President Obama's wife compared with the current first lady. Some people thought the previous president's wife was unattractive and that the current one is super attractive. So that's part of what's going on in this decision-making process, is who the majority of the people are that are being able to make that decision. That's my opinion, right. Anyway.
Right. And I think the bottom line is, as we raise our kids, I am very adamant about us as fathers teaching our kids not to be ashamed of who they are, no matter what, no matter who they are, what they are, how they look, because everyone is successful within their mind, can be successful no matter what they look like. Some of the most intelligent people with the biggest salaries don't look like models. And I just wanted to get the point across. But I want to come up with something we talked about before. And this is about health in America, because Friday there was another young man who collapsed and died during a football game. He was playing a football game, and he was from Mississippi. They were in another – they were out of campus. They went to play somewhere else playing, and he was tight end or something. Anyway, he collapsed on the field, and a little while later died. This is several young men playing ball that have died, and school has just started. We didn't used to have this. What do you think? I guess, are our kids that out of shape? Or video games? You know, are our kids really that out of shape? And if the coaches, now, one of the things was we talked about last time, because it's hard on the young men or girls now who can play to get in shape and do and harass them and make them work out and things, but not getting people for doing that too. So I think we're stuck on sports taking on a new look somehow. I don't know how and where, but more sports. Don, tell me what you think. Where are we going? Because, you know, first it was helmet, you know, we were worried about kids getting their heads hurt. But now the young people out there are passing out and dying doing sports, the things that we used to do. So what do you, I know that you have grandkids that might be going this way. What do you think's going on?
David, to be truthful with you, I just don't know. I just don't know. I can't comment because I just don't know.
Is food, our food choices, and then we're on our coaches very heavy about making our kids do hard work. What about you, Bruce? I know that you have grandkids also, and I know they're kind of athletic. What do you?
Yeah, they are athletic. I can't really say that if someone forced me to say, are we in better shape or worse shape overall than we were 15 years ago, I would probably say we're not, if I had to say yes or no. But I have no data to back that up. But that I wouldn't be surprised to know that that's true. Is that resulting in the, like, more of the incidents you just talked about? I'm not so sure of that either. Maybe the training routine is different also. maybe as Don said, I've looked into this a little bit. Matter of fact, a friend of mine is a volunteer coach, not a high school or a college coach, and some of them really are befuddled on why these things are happening, or whether we've got more kids going into sports now because the opportunities are bigger for more people get involved that really shouldn't be in that sport. That could be some of it too. I can't really tell you. It's kind of befuddling a little bit in that regard, but we may have more people going into things that they're not conditioned to do at that moment, or not getting conditioned to go into it.
What do you think we as fathers need to start paying attention to with our kids who want to do sports? What do you think, Frank? You have a grandkids too.
Hey, David. These kids are not in shape. They're the worst shape ever. Okay, the worst shape ever. If you just go to the armed forces and see how many people can't qualify. Okay, I've even had relatives that have indicated that they're working out, and I've seen many people. By the way, I go to the gym, and I'm engaged in the gym. I was the athletic petty officer when I was inducted in the armed forces. Even though I was a high school dropout, I was in charge of the physical training for everybody that was in my company in boot camp. Okay, so I was an athlete. And what's happened is these kids, you're right, they're not out there doing running and ripping on the streets. They're doing video games. And so they have to actually, which is interesting, prepare to meet these challenges that the armed forces requires minimally. And there are lots of kids that have to do this. And, you know, that wasn't a case when I came in the armed forces at all. There was no run, jump, or whatever. But what they found out in the armed forces, in which I observed, we had so many people coming in that were just terribly out of shape. So what I think is that we've got to pull back from the video games. We've got to engage kids in the elementary school time frame where exercise and activities that engage exercise are part and parcel as they were in the day that you grew up or I grew up.
Didn't they take PE out of a lot of schools? A lot of schools don't have physical education anymore, right?
That's right. Some schools,
yeah.
Some schools did that. For instance, I never have to, in middle school above, my last class of every school that I was in was the last period because I was considered an athlete. So that's, I always ran, jumped, and all that. I never, you know, I did square dancing, I think, one time, you know, in the whole total. School thing, but that's what, you know, that's what they used to do to non-athletes. But what's happening now, these kids cannot pass the armed forces entrance exam for physical, and they're requiring them to go out and demonstrate their physical ability before they get into the armed force. That never happened when I came in. That never happened, okay? But the reason why I was put in charge of that, because our company wanted to be the number one company in boot camp, everything and everything. So we had a petty officer, and I was that guy. And if you look like you didn't move a rifle very fast, then I was in, you know, I was up your rear end, okay? And so that's what we did. But we didn't have anybody that we had to send the remedial. And some companies did have people that they had to send the remedial physical exercise where they did nothing but exercise every day. And that's what we've got right now. We've got people who have to exercise every day because they've never done exercise.
Well, let me ask this question. In the military, if you can't pass the physical and have to exercise every day, is that considered, don't you think that'll come back and bite them eventually? They're going to say that's too hard? Because I do remember when meningitis broke out in California, they took physical education out. We weren't allowed to do physical because that was one there. And then meningitis broke out. So they cut down physical education. So,
well,
my
let
question
me tell
is,
you what happened. That, when there's downsizing in the armed forces and you're fat or you can't run, jump, and meet the standards, or your body fat is too high, you're going home, okay?
Okay.
You're going
okay.
home, all right? And that's been ever since the time that I've been in. So what happens when there's a war and they have they'll kind of let you slide, but every service right now has a physical fitness requirement that you have to do twice a year, and they have the standards, okay? And the only way you get waivered off those standards is that you have a medical condition, and they'll let you go for, I think, 6 months after that. And then supposedly you're supposed to be processed for separation if you're not back ready to meet those standards in that year time frame. And what's happened is if you look at some of these people, they're leaving the armed forces with 13 or 14 years in. And the reason why they're leaving is because they cannot meet the physical standards. All right. So physical fitness is very important these days in the armed forces, has been for the last 30 years. The guy that relieved me when I left active duty, he said to me, "Hey, I got everything you got." And I said, "Well, how are you doing on your physical fitness?" He says, "What does that have to do with anything?" Well, you know, let me just say this right here. It's important, at least from my perspective, that you try to maintain the highest standard as possible when you're evaluated in your physical fitness, just like you would in your work. Because if you don't do that, then when they get ready to trim the fat, you're going to be the first to go.
Right. But I want to say to men who are listening who have kids, this is your opportunity to spend time with your kids. And you're sitting there looking at TV with the remote, and they're emulating you, and they're on their video games, and they want to play sports. Now, in my mind, watching this going on across the nation, people dying and stuff, I'm thinking at least two or three times a week, I need to get out there. We need to go to the gym with my kids, or we need to go play some basketball. We need to walk around the block. We need to get a puppy. The puppy needs to go to walk every day. I mean, this is a time for us as men to get out and start working with our families, because right now, our kids are obviously not able to protect this nation if they can't join the service, or they're not physically fit anymore. And now our kids are falling down, dying on the field as they play sports. And that's something I think as men need to think about. What do you think about that, Don? Do you think that's about right, or do you have other thoughts?
Don, can you rephrase that question? Rephrase that question, David.
No, I was just saying, isn't it for us as men? Because I know that I can see Bruce, I can see Frank, and I can see you with your kids out playing and doing things. I can see that happening. But there are those that just sit and watch TV all day with their kids. We need to rethink our position as fathers and get out with our kids, because right now our kids aren't very healthy. Sitting around doing video games, and two things that it's doing mentally – we have all these shootings and things going on, and most of the games they're into now do a lot of that. We need to see what they're playing, but we need to get out with our kids and play. I mean, when's the last time you seen a young father give a young kid a punch drive, you know, something, and take them? I see them out. I see more men out with their kids, but they're walking them in their buggies and things like that. So I think it's time for us to really get back physical with our kids. And I was just asking you, do you think that's true?
I believe that's true, David. Matter of fact, right now, what I'm doing is walking with my granddaughter and grandson, and we're walking while I'm talking to you on this show. And the thing is, I get tired. I have to sit down. I can't run like them. So I'm good at coaching. And matter of fact, I'm good at coaching. And I just said to them, "Hey, you guys, keep running.
Yeah.
Keep running." In fact, that's what I just said a few moments ago. Keep running, you guys. Okay, keep running.
I hear them.
You see what I'm saying?
I hear them.
Hey, you guys, keep running.
Yeah. Well, and Don, I figured out a way. It seems like grandkids are jam-packed with energy, and mine are very physically fit that way. So the only way grandpa can keep up with them, I say, "Oh, you want to go ride bikes? Fine. I have my 15 speed, so I can throttle it up and down the hills, but I'm still way ahead of them, and by the time I get them home, they can't breathe."
I know it. And you know what I do? I'll say, "Keep running. You guys are doing great." I'll just encourage them.
Yeah.
And, man, they get so excited when I encourage them. And by the time we get home, man, they're tired. They're real tired.
Well, as long as you're not taking him home and then feeding him ice cream and cake.
No.
Watch this. Have you guys ran enough? Have you ran enough?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
Now, Don, I think I heard them say, now Grandpa's got to run. It's your turn. No.
All right. I want to change the mood just a little bit. I want to come up with another subject real quick. Today is National Dog Day. And the reason I bring that up is because National Dog Day. But
okay.
The reason I bring that up is because there are a lot of families that I've seen where getting a dog is an issue. Usually the father wants a dog, the wife doesn't, usually, because the wife, they're the ones got to clean up after the dog. But I think pets are good for kids. It helps teach them things. And we're talking about getting exercise and things in. So I think pets are important for some kids, but I know a lot of females are afraid of dogs, and so they don't want one. And then one of the poor dogs that has the worst reputation is a pit bull. But in reality, pit bulls are really nice, friendly little dogs. When they're puppies and you raise them, it's how we treat them. It's how we, but you know, I was reading our article the other day. Is there isn't really no thing as a pit bull that it is a. It's not. There's no such man as a pit bull. A pit bull is actually a couple of dogs mixed, and that's how they get the
name.
A bull and a pit.
But still, I do think
English bulldog, etc. Yeah.
So
nice dog. Yeah.
I'm a property manager, David,
Frank,
so
I know
the different names.
Frank,
I'm a property manager, David, so I know the different names. A terrier, okay, of different sorts, that's what it is, okay?
Yes,
and so
yes.
You'll come in with all these other names. But the insurance companies also have a bunch of dogs on the I won't insure list, okay? So when you move into a rental house, they won't let you move in with certain animals.
True.
And remember, guys, if a daughter or granddaughter is walking a dog and she's under 8, you're in trouble. The police are going to get called in on you. Did you hear about that?
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
what?
Didn't you hear about that?
No.
There was a young girl. Mom said, okay, she wanted to give her some responsibility, I guess. I may have that. Kind of right. She was out she's about 8 years old, out walking their family dog or a dog. And either the neighbors or several neighbors called the police instead of going over and talking to the mother. And the police came and she got in trouble. They were going to make charges. They finally dropped the charges, but this thing went on for 2 weeks. An 8-year old walking a dog.
What was wrong with that? What was the crime?
Another, in my mind, I don't think anything, but that's what I'm saying is where they say, you know, see something, say, do something, but that's not what that was intended for. Go over and, if you're concerned, go over and see the lady and say, you know, do you know that your young daughter's out walking the dog and blah, 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 but not call the police for Christ's sake.
Everybody's calling the police for everything, but I'm backing up. Why did the police even get involved? Because it is not a crime for an 8-year-old to walk a dog.
They thought she was too young, kind of what? Do you call that some sort of child abuse or something? I don't know, that she was out walking the dog and it was wrong. So they called the police.
Oh, my God.
I did not know that.
That's
right.
On the other hand, a month ago, David, I was in Coronado, California, and a section of the beach is not cordoned off; it's partitioned off, or designated. I should use a better word. It's designated with signs as a doggy beach area, and it was a wonderful thing to observe the number of people that had animals, and who took their dogs to the water. The dog they unleashed them, and the dogs ran into the water and stayed in that area. So that was really a wonderful thing to see.
Yes, you know, there's a dog park here not far from me, and it's always amazing to me that people will go out and let the dogs off the leashes and they play with each other. I mean, they actually have a good time. Dogs are not, they're not like we barking and fussing at people all the time. I think it's how we raise our dogs. But Ron used to work for the Humane Society in Miami. Was one of the executives there raising funds and stuff. And Ron, in the Humane Society, was there a dog that was considered that when it came, people were concerned about it because of its brand?
Well, yeah, it's interesting that we were talking about pit bulls because. My understanding, Don, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that in Miami-Dade, where I live, Miami, it's illegal to own a pit bull. But you go up the road to Fort Lauderdale in Broward County, and it's not illegal there. So the way that the Humane Society, got around that little issue there, and I understand that Miami-Dade Animal Services, Humane Society is private, Miami-Dade Animal Services is county, so it's public. The way that they get around it is by saying that it's a mix, because I think, who was it, Frank, that said they're all mixed or something like that?
Yeah, they're terrier. They're different types of terrier class.
Right. So they just put on the label that it's a mix, and, because they're the sweetest dogs. I mean, and David, I urge you to go and adopt a dog because even the big ones are nice and sweet. And this is from a former owner of four beagles at one time. They bring so much joy, unconditional love. They get you out walking. I mean, I could just go on and on and on about all the benefits of having, particularly dogs. All pets are good. Not just for kids, but for people of any age.
But Ron, let me ask you a question. For families who are listening, and us as men and leaders of the family, what would you say if a young family came up and asked you, Ron, you've worked with pets before and dogs and cats, which dog do you think is the best family that would be a family dog?
That's a very subjective question. I mean, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on, if you have any other animals. It depends on whether you have an apartment or a house. Some dogs need more room and a backyard. It depends on how active they're going to be. Do you have time to take the dog out 2-3 times a day for a walk or, so it depends on a lot of things. But I think from my understanding, one of the most mild-mannered dogs, they're rambunctious when they're young, but beagles, they're the happiest dogs I guess you can ever meet. And maybe I'm a little biased because I had beagles, but I can't say anything bad about beagles. And they did win the AKC Dog of the Year or whatever it is, several times. So, and it is the most popular breed. I think it's still the most popular breed in the U.S. I could be wrong.
Really?
I think so.
No, I thought Goldens were.
Oh, Goldens are great, too.
Labradors. Yeah.
Labradors.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another dog that used to have a kind of a bad connotation to it because it would walk its yard like a patrol officer was. Remember Doberman Pinschers?
Oh, yeah.
I want one.
Yeah.
I'm looking for one right now.
He says, I want one.
Yeah.
I want one.
Well, they miniaturized it. They were so terrible.
They miniaturized.
Yeah.
Oh, they're a miniaturized weapon now.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem, let me just say this right here. I love dogs and I love animals. I have not had one since I've been married. And by the way, yesterday, Friday was my 50th year of being married. My wife has had me for 50 years. So
you got that right, Frank.
Yeah, she has zoophobia. But each of my children are engaged with pets as adults, so I'm happy for that. My mother has what you guys named as a pit bull as she lives with a pit bull, okay, who's relatively young age, which, you know, really I thought was a bad idea, and so did a number of other people. But that did not change what she wanted to do and what she has done, okay? So pets are problematic if you don't own a residence. And if you and that is that not everybody will take you because you have a pet in the resident. And part of that is because some people are, as David mentioned earlier, frightened of animals. And I have seen animals, or I have friends where animals, like in the terrier class, have actually killed another small dog, you know, just went after them and killed them, even though I don't know how the dog was raised or whatever. But I've heard court outcomes where that's happened as well. But anyway, they're problematic. And in the real estate industry, when you have a pet, basically there's an unwritten word that you're basically devaluating your home while you have the pet in it. In other words, a lot of people who have pets don't maintain the pet very well. Some people who have pets do, but a lot of homes that have pets are from my perspective, are have a lot of odors in the home. And they're not able to, the people who live there, I don't think, are able to determine that their house is smelly. Okay. Now, there are some people you can walk into their homes, and of course, you wouldn't know there was a pet in the home whatsoever. But a lot of people do have pet problems where they don't maintain their home well with the pet.
There's also an interesting phenomena. You heard big dog, little dog theory, where the countless times the little dog will go after a dog 3-4 times its size.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And the big one will run in terror trying to get away from the little one.
Yeah.
I wonder about it, because I've seen that a lot. I wonder what makes that little dog think that, you know, you want to take me on? Fine. Go ahead. Try.
Some of these little dogs were bred to do certain vicious things, like kill off rodents and things like that. And I've seen some of these smaller dogs band together and go after other animals, you know, that are nuisance. So, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there are certain breeds.
National Dog Day.
If anybody got a Doberman.
Dogs are wonderful. I agree. Dogs are wonderful. They're wonderful.
They are.
Why is it that most people don't like cats? What is it? This is National Dog Day. But let's say, why is it that most people, I'm going to say people, but most men do not like cats. A lot of people don't like cats. Cats got a really bad name, I think, out here in the North, because there's always this one lady in the neighborhood called the cat lady, and everybody usually knows. Some neighborhoods, we had one when I lived next door, actually.
Open the door.
I don't know if I would want a pet cat, but I love to watch them. I've seen them climb on second story houses and go through the window. I've seen some cats that are 30 pounds. Tomcats. They can be ferocious. I think the difference for me is I communicate with a dog. At least I think I'm communicating with a dog, and I'm not sure that I'm communicating with a cat. I think the cat might ignore me.
That's right.
So
I want to see that, Frank.
Yeah.
Hey, dog, am I communicating with you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're talking.
Hey, Dave.
I can train a dog pretty quick to sit, to come, and everything else, but I don't get the same response when I try that with a cat.
Yeah, cat says later, buddy.
Maybe we're on to something there.
Maybe the cat is real smart, huh?
Prefer dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the cat is real smart and knows that I'm a butt, huh?
As you said, dogs unconditionally love, cats put up with you at best.
All right. We only got like 5 minutes left, and there's more things I want to bring up before we get off. But the one thing I want to bring up was, and I wanted to have this conversation, there's two important funerals next week. All funerals are important, but these two are national or international. But, of course, Senator McCain, John McCain's funeral will be next week, but also Aretha Franklin's funeral will be next week. And I wanted to talk about these two because Aretha Franklin is getting international attention. And she was a singer, an artist. And we've talked about our kids before, and I don't think there are singers, young girls who are coming up, no matter what nationality or anything, that are just known for their vocals. You know, there's, of course, there's the Beyonce, but that's not singing. That's something else. I don't know what that is. But anyway, a lot of people kill me for that. But anyway. But there's no, you know, there's Celine Dion and that class of singers in our young group, I guess they just haven't come up yet. I see them on some The Voice or talent shows or something, but I don't think they are producing that kind of a thing. And I guess my question is, for our parents, we had talents they didn't like. Now we have things that we think that are going on. Is it just our generation? Is it generational, or is it that, and the generations are just changing? And so I don't see it because the new generation has something else. But I just don't think the talent, you know, we got the football players from Pat Zagana. I think our young people aren't coming up with the talent. And is it because we've taken it out of the schools? We don't have music in schools anymore. We don't have gym classes anymore. I think we made a big mistake. What do you think, Brent?
Oh, I think that we have the talent, David. I think that it's a commercial business, and we only get a chance to hear what sells a lot of records or what people will tune to. But I think on the small scale, those musicians and artists still exist. They just don't get the time in the air time.
You know, something that you just said clicked because you said they just don't have. You know what it is? They don't sell the records. That's what it is, because nobody's making money.
That's right.
Nobody's making money, so you don't hear them no more.
That's right. They only want what commercially is large that sells, you know, the gigantic. because you've got some old singers that are still singing, but they just have small venues that they're doing it. And they're still good and they're still effective.
I can add something, though. Let me add something about Aretha. I had the privilege of meeting her many, many years ago. And I saw people like her, and I think why she conjures up so much love and admiration is back when I was young, a lot of these main singers started genres that, you know, like Motown and, you know, She's Soul, you know, the Queen of Soul and all of this and that, we're not starting those venues again. They were kind of the founding fathers and mothers and daughters of those things. And they took on a whole different, aura about them. And she did. When you met her, it was almost palpable. You could feel it. I mean, she's very gracious, very quiet, actually, but you could almost feel like, wow, you know, who did I just meet? It was very cool.
We only have about a minute left, so I'm going to change really quick because I wanted to bring this up. Frank already jumped in and messed it up for me, but Frank just had his 50th wedding anniversary, and I wanted to take this time out to say congratulations, but I also wanted to say, Frank, if you had young men all listening, they want to know what is the thing that make your marriage last for 50 years, what would you tell them?
I would say that, one, keep God always in your sights, and I would say, two, is always say yes, honey.
Wow. All right. I wanted to, we want to say
and I
want to
salute
you.
And I want to salute Senator McCain.
Yes.
A real American, true American hero.
Okay.
Well, we got 15 seconds left, and I just wanted to say, you know, congratulations on 50 years. I would say that marriage is easy, but it's always, it takes love and understanding, and obviously you have that, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And we're closing down to the last few minutes of the show. So I want to tell everyone thank you. You've been listening to The Man's Voice. We will be back again next Sunday at 6 o'clock. So you guys take care. I will talk to you all again next week. You guys have fun.
Have a good week.
Have a good week, everybody.